All right, welcome back, knuckleheads. This will be the final episode of the year. Don't worry, I'll be back in January with some great guests. So who do we have this week? We have Natalie Wilkins. She is the chief of staff at Cook Children's Healthcare System here in Fort Worth. She's got an impressive background that I'll let her talk about. Do me a favor, go ahead, subscribe now and share with a friend. Enjoy. Natalie, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Cook Children's and ready to have some fun today.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, let's get things started with what is a normal day in the life like for you as the chief of staff?
Well, I would say that every day is quite different. So as chief of staff, as you can imagine, I'm in meetings quite a bit, but really the day can vary from day to day, even from week to week. So one of the things that I do almost every week is check in with my boss, Rick Merrill. So I'm chief of staff to the president and CEO. So I do get quite a bit of time with him to make sure that I'm following the direction, that we're aligned, that we're communicating well, and that we're keeping track of all the important work that we partner on together. So we have an administrative building that's on the corner of Rosedale and 8th. So I'm in that building quite a bit, but head over to the medical center, our hospital, quite a bit for meetings and different conversations that we need to have that are relative and important to the medical center and our staffing and our programs that we execute on a daily basis. It's not unusual for me to get requests to go check on patient families from different outlying hospitals or from administrators that are in the region. So I might go over and just check and see how things are going, say hello to folks, check on staff as well. That's probably one of the things that I like to do most is to be able to go in, check on families, check on staff, and really hear the stories of what folks are going through as they encounter our organization.
This might be a stupid question, but what exactly is a chief of staff? I mean, you hear that in like politics, but from like a healthcare perspective, I don't think I've interviewed anybody that had that specific role.
Mm-hmm. So chief of staff, you're right. It's used more typically in the governmental world.
Yeah.
And we see it more and more coming up within healthcare systems and pediatric systems as well. And it has come about, I think, just as an opportunity to be very focused on staff and also very focused on what the needs are of the president and CEO or the leader of that organization so that there can be one person that's laser focused that's working with the rest of the executive team on executing the top priorities of the chief executive. And so our chief executive, Rick Merrill, he had this idea probably about 4 or 5 years ago to have a chief of staff as he was seeing other organizations employ that same model. And so a couple of things I think that were priorities for him for the chief of staff position are program development. So for those programs and initiatives that are high priority, time sensitive, and that probably involve both internal and external communications, he felt a need to have one person that would work with a team of people across the organization to execute on those kind of time-sensitive, high-priority programs. And also to work with the different executives of each organization. So Cook Children's is actually comprised of 9 different companies. And so my role entails working with the top executives from each of those companies, primarily the 4 main ones, to execute on those high priority programs. You know, one example is our program where we take our cardiovascular surgical team out to Covenant Children's in Lubbock. And so that takes coordination with our medical center and our physician network and corporate departments as well to do all of those things. And so I think that's what Rick really wanted was kind of one person that worked with a team of individuals to execute on those high priority projects. The other thing that I think he really wanted to focus on is around strategic communication. So at Cook Children's, we have 7,500 employees. 9 companies. And so we needed a concentrated effort that was directed by him as the president and CEO to really communicate effectively across the organization and also with leaders across the organization. So he wanted a direct liaison to be able to drive some of that strategy and communication throughout the organization.
All right. There's a lot there. as far as like sending teams out to different places, what are those? Are people typically pretty receptive to that, or is it hard to send a team out to Lubbock, or what's that process look like?
It is a lot of hard work, but very rewarding work at the same time. And really how this partnership, for example, with Covenant Children's came about was through a lot of mutual respect between our two leaders, between Rick Merrill and Amy Thompson. And so it began as just a vision to work more closely together, and we got more granular about what the needs are of kids in West Texas. And we decided to focus in on having heart surgeries closer to home out in West Texas so that families didn't have to travel in from a long way away. They could have that higher level of care in Lubbock close to home.
Yeah.
And so to execute on that is very challenging. So we had a team of about 8 individuals. So 3 physicians, I believe, 4 nurses, administrator, that all went for, I think, 3 days it was, and took time away here from the medical center to go out to Lubbock to perform those surgeries. So very well received. We've done 1 trip so far out to Lubbock. We performed 2 surgeries. Both surgeries went very well. The clinical team is led by Dr. Vincent Tam, world-class cardiovascular surgeon that works here at Cook.
Yeah. So it sounds like you guys are doing a ton of different things. Like, I mean, is there a Cook's in most major metro areas, or is this pretty uncommon to have a facility like this in our backyard?
You know, most urban centers have some kind of children's hospital or pediatric unit that's part of an adult system or is independent. But at Cook, we are an independent, not-for-profit pediatric healthcare system. And we do have 9 companies that are a part of the organization, but 4 that are kind of the true main clinical companies. And as part of Cook, one of the things that we like to brag about is our integrated pediatric model. So not only do we have our medical center that's about 445 beds, but we also have a physician network that's comprised of about 450 physicians, about a third of those being primary care. So we have those elements, but also have a home health company that provides in-home care and medical equipment that's solely for pediatrics for children. And we also have a health plan that's 135,000 Medicaid and CHIP members. So we've got this incredible model for pediatric care that is unique. And so we are very lucky. We're very blessed, fortunate to have this in our backyard because it is different than just your typical children's hospital.
As far as the 130,000 Medicaid patients, and you mentioned CHIP, what exactly is that? I feel like I should know what that is. But
sure. So in the state of Texas, Medicaid is actually governed by the state. And so Medicaid members actually get to choose their health plan. And so in for Medicaid members in the western part of Tarrant County, they have choices as to what plan they're a part of. And so they have an opportunity to choose Cook Children's alongside other health plans.
Okay. I didn't realize that Cook was 7,500 employees and JPS is around that size.
That's right.
It's amazing the size of these, and yet you guys are still overwhelmed with patients. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk a little bit about how busy things have been, what's causing it, and some just to kind of keep us all informed?
Right. I'd be glad to. Yeah, you probably read recently that I believe it was November 18th, we saw 600 patients through our emergency department. And that's twice as many than we typically see. And really, the census, the number of patients in our hospital has been at unprecedented levels for the last month. And really cause for this. We're seeing a lot of respiratory infections. We're seeing a little bit of flu, but flu season really hasn't peaked yet. And so that does have us concerned. So if we have a high census now and we still have flu that remains to be seen in the early 2020 months, it does give us concern for how we're going to handle it. I'd say so far that the teams have been just incredible and have really been over backwards to show up, to take extra shifts, to stay longer. But it's not sustainable. So we've got to figure out the best way to maintain this and to staff. And I know we can do it. We just have to be creative. We've got a lot of overachievers at Cook Children's. And so when we put a team together, we're generally able to figure it out in real creative ways.
Can you talk a little bit about the mission of Cook Children's and what you guys are doing over there and what separates you guys from a JBS, a Baylor, or a THR here in Tarrant County?
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, it's all about the kids, right? One thing we like to talk about is our promise. And really, our promise at Cook Children's is at the center of what we do. And our promise is knowing that the life of every child is sacred. It's Cook Children's promise to improve the health of every child in our region through the prevention and treatment of illness, disease, and injury. And so that's our promise. A lot of organizations have a mission statement, a vision statement, and they have values. Actually, about 15 years ago, we were in the same place. We had all of those things, but since we're overachievers at Cook, we had meta strategies and overarching principles.
Yeah, that's what Rick was saying.
Right. And so we found that it was getting complex and confusing, and we really felt like we needed to boil it down to something that was very simple and compelling and that a toddler could understand. More like a pinky swear in a way.
Okay.
And so the promise of Cook Children's is to really move the needle on the way that children are cared for in our community so that we're not only delivering the highest quality care to kids, but we're providing really one of the healthiest communities for parents to raise children.
Yeah. Just curious, like pediatrics goes until like 13, right? Somewhere in there?
Yeah, or older.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So some specialties take care of kids up to a certain age. Others, you know, take care of kids well into adulthood. And so it just kind of depends on the level of specialty that you're talking about. Yes.
And you guys are seeing the sickest of the sick. That's who typically comes to Cook's, right?
That's right. We're laser focused on pediatric care. And so, you know, we are the kind of premier pediatric provider of healthcare in the western part of the Metroplex. And we take care of kids. We take care of babies. Babies are born at the adult facilities like a Baylor or a THR. We don't deliver babies at Cook, but we take care of the most critically ill, premature, medically fragile babies and partner with the adult hospitals to do that as well. So if there's babies that require the highest level of care, if they require an intensive surgery, then we partner with the adult facilities to transfer them over to Cook for that highest level of care.
Yeah, very nice. And given that you guys are independent and things like that, you're not part of a larger health system. You are a large health system. Mm-hmm. How does that help kind of shape care, given that you're laser focused just on pediatric care?
Yeah, so a couple of examples. So it really goes to the visionary leadership of our board. I think they drive that from the very highest level. And no business is conducted at our board meetings before the board looks at the quality and safety dashboard. And so that is top priority. And really the most important thing that our board does is look at the quality and safety work that we're doing, along with a lot of the other strategic initiatives that we are putting forth. And so it allows us to be laser focused on that pediatric care. So, you know, one example of that is in our board meetings recently, we've been taking through our board members and putting them side by side with our clinicians in the units to understand, you know, what is a central line associated bloodstream infection and what are we doing about those infections so we can reduce those to the smallest number possible so that they have really a clear understanding of what it is and what we're doing to eliminate any kind of harm to patients.
Yeah, that is a good question. I have no idea what a central line is. You talked a little bit about the dashboard and quality and safety. Can mm-hmm. you kind of explain what that is, like what information might be on that just for mm-hmm. somebody that might have no clue like myself?
Right. So that's a great question too. So pediatric care is unique, and there's a lot of incredible collaboration really at the national level that's going on in the world of quality and safety. So there's an organization called the Solutions for Patient Safety, and there's about 135 pediatric institutions that participate in this quality and safety consortium. And really what that means is that this organization is looking at about 9 hospital-acquired infections. So infections that shouldn't happen.
Gotcha.
And so this organization is laser-focused on these 9 and how we reduce harm to hopefully 0. And so we participate in that organization at the highest level. Rick is on the board of that. And so with that, we're able to not only measure our hospital-acquired infections, but we're able to benchmark those to, you know, almost 100 other organizations across the country. It's an all teach, all learn organization. We don't compete on quality and safety, but we share bundles of care, we share best practices so that we can provide the best care for patients. And really, there's no other probably quality and safety consortium like this one. It's pretty unique. And the fact that there's 130 organizations that are a part of it speaks to how successful it's been and to the importance of it going forward.
You mentioned a term I'd never really heard, acquired infection. Can you mm-hmm. kind of clear what that is?
Sure. In the hospital world, you want to have the best care for patients.
Yeah.
And you don't want your patients to acquire any kind of infection when they're in the hospital.
Gotcha.
And so that's where we're focused, is the opportunity to introduce no harm to patients when they're in the hospital. I think, you know, you kind of assume that doesn't happen and shouldn't happen, and really it shouldn't, but we're human, we make mistakes and things happen. And so that's why we're focused on those bundles of care and, you know, the basic things, of course, as far as, you know, washing hands and having the best practices and all the very simple to complex things so that we can eliminate, hopefully, those hospital-acquired infections.
Yeah, I imagine all the small stuff definitely adds up if you're seeing 600 kids mm-hmm. in one day.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. I always try to talk a little bit about preventive care. And so what are you guys doing on that front with regards to pediatrics here in Tarrant County?
Well, we're doing quite a bit. So we have probably about 150 primary care doctors. In addition to that, we have a number of advanced practice practitioners that practice in coordination with the physicians as well. And have, I believe it's about 30 primary care offices throughout Tarrant County. And so we really tried to make it easy for parents to be able to access primary care with these, you know, multitude of locations so that they can get to the primary care appointments as easily as possible. And
yeah,
to provide that gateway to the best care possible and having, you know, really care guided by that pediatrician. The pediatrician can refer to the specialist and refer to other practitioners that are needed by that patient, but with the primary care doctor being the gatekeeper.
Very nice. Well, we can wrap up here with a couple easier questions. What resources do you wish more people understood, or how can we be better consumers of the healthcare product you guys are putting out there?
You know, one personal question and personal answer I might point to is around our continuum of care and the Cook model. So one maybe opportunity that people don't know about is our urgent care offices. So we've got 6 throughout the Metroplex. And this is an opportunity for parents to take their patients when perhaps they're not able to get into the primary care office, or it's an absolute urgent visit, but maybe an emergency department visit isn't needed.
So, yeah.
You know, we talked about 600 patients going through the emergency department. If a child has a bump on his head and just needs to be checked out pretty quickly, urgent care is the perfect place for that.
Yeah.
So personal example, I have a nephew that's 1 year old.
Okay.
And I got a call 3 o'clock on Labor Day weekend that he was struggling for breath and that my sister and brother-in-law were headed to the Cook emergency department to get him checked out. Luckily, he was diagnosed with croup, not serious. They caught it in time and he was discharged within a couple of days. Well, after that, he went to the primary care doctor to follow up, where they got some really good instruction from that primary care doctor about croup, about, you know, next time if it does happen, here's what you can do. You know, try to get into the primary care office, but if not, go to the urgent care office and they can take care of you there. So that way they don't have to go into the emergency department and have to wait for a while and, you know, maybe have, you know, a more expensive bill to work with.
Sure.
And so really utilizing primary care and urgent care, I think, is something that folks can do and to follow direction of the primary care doctor and providers. The other thing that I want to brag on actually is a personal story as well. So my niece, she actually swallowed a coin almost a year ago and it got lodged in her throat. And so when that happened, my sister called me and brother-in-law and headed over to the emergency department. And it was so incredible to watch our child life specialist work with my niece and work with actually my other niece that was there too, to get them calmed down and to play with them and to provide them an iPad so that their anxiety level goes down, that, you know, she's having trouble breathing with this coin in her throat. And so they were actually able to calm her so that she wasn't having trouble breathing anymore. So just to see our child life specialist in action, they're really all throughout the medical center. They rotate and are assigned to all different areas of the hospital to make that child stay at the hospital the best it can be and to make it fun. And if, you know, we hear sometimes that at the end of hospital stays that kids don't want to leave. They want to stay because they've had so much fun. And if we can accomplish that in a hospital stay, that's quite incredible.
That is. I bet you get a lot of random phone calls.
We do.
Yeah. Where can people find all of these locations? Is it best just to go to the website? What's the easiest way to kind of locate these ideally before they actually need it?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have our primary care locations listed on the website.
Gotcha.
And so parents and families can find those locations that are closest to them listed under our primary care section. And just calling Cook Children's, you know, our switchboard operator can direct to the closest location as well.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. If somebody listens in and is feeling inspired, how can they best help you guys?
Well, I would say I'd be glad to be a resource. If they wanted to contact me through LinkedIn, I'd be glad to help direct them to what they're passionate about. I'd be glad to do that.
Awesome. I typically ask this at the very end. So what is one of your favorite interview questions?
My favorite interview questions? That's a great question. I think one question that comes to mind is asking the interviewee, what would your boss say about you? Or what would your former boss say about you? I think it tends to kind of get people thinking creatively. And it's a great question. You know, what would your former boss say? And hopefully it's something that's positive. But then also I like, you know, kind of just breaking the ice and at the very beginning, making people feel comfortable. You know, where are you from? You know, what do you like to do for fun? And then that generally kind of leads to some of the more introspective questions. Yeah.
Well, last question here. I mean, obviously you have a very demanding job. So how do you personally stay healthy and sane given the demands of being a chief of staff?
Well, I try to work out at least 3 days a week and I like Pilates. So I'd try to get in early in the morning because I know if I don't get it in first thing, then most likely there's no way it's happening.
Yeah.
So also live downtown and so walk around downtown quite a bit, walk my dog. And so that's a good way to get in a little bit of exercise too.
Awesome. All right, Natalie, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for giving the show a listen. Please do me a favor before you stop listening. Subscribe on whatever platform you're on. If you loved it so much and you've already subscribed, share this episode with a friend. Thanks again, and I'll see you next week.
Matt McGee is an employee of Frost Insurance. All opinions shared by Matt or guests of the Healthy Conversations podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Frost Insurance or Frost Bank. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for insurance, banking, or investment advice. Healthy Conversations with Matt McGee is brought to you by Straight Up Podcasts.